intro, man. Got an intro. Good morning. Everybody good? Was that you? Yeah, she's good. Glad that you're with us this morning. I want to read to you out of Psalm 100. By the way, it's not the shortest psalm. I asked these two theologians this morning, isn't this the shortest psalm in the deal? And they, what? No, it's 117. It's two verses. This is Psalm 100, which has five verses. It's not the shortest psalm. See, Larry would have known that. Larry wasn't here in the early service. Hear these words from God's word. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Are you ready to worship Him with gladness this morning? Come before Him with joyful songs. Are we going to do some joyful songs this morning? Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And I told the early service, that's not a compliment, really. Sheep are kind of dumb. But the good news is that they have a wonderful shepherd.
That's right.
We have a wonderful shepherd.
That's right.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Why? For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's worthy of our praise right there. Yes? Are you ready to worship this morning? You ready to praise Him? You ready to enter His gates with thanksgiving? Let's pray. Father, we exalt Your holy name. We enter with thanksgiving because of who You are. Because Your love is great, because it endures forever. Your faithfulness is steadfast. No matter what we face, You walk with us. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You're the God of all comfort, the Prince of peace. We invite Your Spirit. May our hearts, our minds, and our words please You. We lift the name of Jesus high. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Also want to invite or encourage our live stream audience. Let's stand and worship together.
Let's put those hands together. Good morning, church. To make a joyful noise and our hearts full of gratitude for the love of a gracious God that we serve.
May the circle be unbroken. Yeah.
Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated. And at this time, children, come on forward for your children's message.
You're here. All right. Today, I want to talk about the shirt. Is there anything wrong with this shirt?
No.
It's wrinkled. So yes, it is wrinkled. And I'm thinking, oh, this is such a wrinkled shirt. What do we do with wrinkled shirts? We iron them. You have one of these at your house? So sometimes they get ironed. And we iron them. It's really quite the hassle to iron because you have to get out the ironing board. You have to get out the shirt. You have to plug it in. And then you got to wait for it to heat up. And then you can finally use it. And it's like scorching hot. I mean, do you want to touch this when it's heated up? And what do you think? It was a bit hot. Yes, it gets, you know, so you can get up to scorching hot, like you burn yourself. All right, so anyways, I got to thinking how we can be kind of like a wrinkled shirt. We do things that are not always just right. Do you sometimes not do things that are right? Do you, like, yell at your siblings sometimes when you really shouldn't? Do you sometimes not listen to mom and dad when you should? Yeah. How about break a rule that mom and dad have declared, like, don't eat this? Yeah, sometimes. And all those, I think, you know, it's like creating wrinkles on ourselves. We kind of put our own wrinkles on our own shirt. And sometimes other people. And then there's consequences. I don't want to forget the consequences. When we do something wrong, are there consequences? Yeah. Who's happy to get a consequence? No. Oh, you like getting consequences? You're just like, yeah, I'll take a consequence. Yeah, no one likes a consequence. It's like, no, can't I just know I'm wrong and not have the consequence? And then sometimes we get hurt by other people. Other people say things that aren't nice, it hurts our feelings, and we kind of get a little wrinkle in our shirt. Maybe our sibling does something to us and it makes us unhappy, and so we get another wrinkle because now we're not happy about that. And then I got to thinking how all those little wrinkles are like little sufferings, right? If someone hurts our feelings, then we suffer for it. If we do something wrong, then we have those consequences. I mean, there are suffering because we created the suffering with our actions, but it's a suffering. Some sufferings are short. Some are long. If someone gets sick, you can that can last a while, but it's suffering. And so we get all these wrinkles, but then God, I kind of see him as the iron. He will come and he will try to make us all better. I don't think it's always a fast process. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's like he goes over it and the wrinkle's still there. And so then he has to go over it again and the wrinkle might still be there. But he does work at those wrinkles. He helps ease our suffering. He eases our suffering in all he does. And sometimes what he does is he comforts us. Sometimes he changes our situation. Sometimes he brings people to us. But he does thus to help us ease. And he allows us to suffer. Does anyone have an idea why God lets us suffer sometimes? Why? So he can build us up. We become stronger each time we suffer. What's your thought? To be good? Yes, you should be good. And it does change us. We have that consequence. We might not do that same behavior again because we've learned our lesson, hopefully. But it's the idea that we go through sufferings, but we become stronger, and we also can become more like Jesus because he's working those bad behaviors out of us. And he's getting us stronger so that we can help other people when they are suffering. I want to read to you out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And it says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." So through your suffering, you become a better you. You become a little bit more like Jesus. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you are a good, good Father, but for sometimes it's so hard for us to see you when we are suffering. Help us to remember that you use our hard times to make us better and make us new in you. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Teresa, for that word. Appreciate that. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. For those of you worshiping online once again, God bless you. Pray you feel his presence in your homes. If you want to register your attendance with our app or through our app, that would be helpful. Wanted to remind you that immediately following this service, we will have an all-church meeting. It'll last a little bit, so... We'd love to have you stay. Child care will be provided after this service and for the meeting as well. For those of you online that may miss that, we will have that posted to our YouTube account at some point, so the church will receive a link for that meeting. I want to remind you ladies of our Tuesday night study through the book of Job. There was 100-plus ladies and a few men that didn't get the memo last Tuesday night, and they were really blessed. So that'll be three more Tuesday nights. Our last Wednesday night for the summer is this Wednesday night until after school starts. And then we have Adventure Cove reserved again this year on August the 10th, and that's always a good time just to get together in fellowship. We'll have a cookout in the park, and then Adventure Cove will be available to us, I believe, around 7:30. So put that on your calendar. Let's stand and affirm our faith together, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I've got a couple of areas I'd like to focus on in prayer this morning. There will be a mid-high camp taking place this week at Camp Butman. We have some of our younger individuals involved in that. Brent is leading that camp, and we have a number of people from our fellowship that are serving as part of that team. I'd like to pray through our denominational issues, direction for us as a fellowship. I'd like to pray for rain. We could use some rain, amen. As I was praying through the early service, I guess y'all remember the Pray for Rain campaign that the city had in 5-6 years ago, whatever, and we prayed for 40 inches, and we got 40.23 inches that year. And then God said, guess what, I'm just going to doubly bless your community, and we had 40 the next year. So it's not unlike the Lord to be able to replenish our land. And also I want to pray for our nation as a whole. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for opportunities to get to know you better. And Lord, we can do that through worship. We can do that corporately. We can do that individually. Lord, I thank you for opportunities such as the Mid-High Camp this week. Lord, it's almost like you're inviting these young men and women, these young boys and girls, to meet with you. And so, Lord, I know you want to do something supernatural there. You want to do something impactful there this week. So I pray that you just, God, just allow your presence just to run free in that camp. Lord, I pray for Brent and the leadership. God, I pray for wisdom for them as things come up. Lord, I pray against what the enemy would try to do to disrupt that through illness, through dissension. Lord, we pray against his activity this week at Budman Camp. And God, I just pray for a respite from the heat for them. I just pray for a good week for everybody involved. God, I lift up our direction denominationally. Father, I thank you for what you're allowing this fellowship to do. And Lord, we just want to be about your business. So Lord, just give us wisdom moving forward. Father, we don't want to be outside your will. And Lord, if we go a different direction than another church across town, God, I just pray for continued unity there. Lord, every church that names Jesus Christ as Lord and believes that the Word is the Word, God, we just want to be in unity. So, Lord, I pray against what the enemy would try to do to cause division as we possibly divide. Lord, just give us wisdom. And, Father, we ask for rain. Lord, the farmers are desperately needing that, and our water supplies are getting low. And so, Lord, would you just open up the floodgates of heaven, Lord, and let it rain. God, I know that the meteorologists are forecasting such and such, God, but you rule and reign over the meteorologists. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that weather patterns shift for your glory, that high pressure systems move for your glory. And God, I pray you replenish the earth in a way that you're glorified and you're honored through that. And Lord, I lift up once again our nation that has lost its way. And Lord, help the church not to rest until we're obedient to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Forgive us for not humbling ourselves and praying and seeking your face and turning from our wicked ways. Father, your promise is if we do that, you will heal our land. And so, Lord, if we're not there yet, move us there. God, we just want to be inside your will as we pray for our nation. Lord, I pray that whatever grieves you grieves us. Whatever is offensive to you, God, I pray that it's offensive to the body of Christ. Lord, I ask for revival for our nation, and it's going to be done through love. So help us to love like you love. God, we can only love because you first loved. So I pray that your love flow through the church and our nation is changed for your glory. And God, thank you for this opportunity to be together, to worship you, to seek your face corporately. I thank you for your grace and mercy that sustains us. And I thank you for the privilege we have to pray to you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And to remind you, we have offering boxes at each entrance into the sanctuary. There's a card with a green stripe that gives everybody your possible options to give. Church, thank you so much for your faithfulness. God bless.
This morning, I want us to forget about what happened yesterday and 2 weeks ago and 2 years ago. And I also want you to let go of what may happen this afternoon or tomorrow or 5 years from now. And in this moment, know that this is a special moment, an opportunity that's covered by grace. And because of the love of Jesus Christ, in this moment, you have access to the living God of the universe. And in this moment, you can come into the presence of the living God. Now, we don't come into the presence of God by anything that we've done, good, We don't earn our way into there, but we always come by the grace of Jesus. The good news is you also cannot earn your way out of that presence of God, but instead, Jesus Christ is the only door that you go through. And so in this moment, maybe you're feeling like a failure today. Let that go. And in this moment, I want you to seek after God with all that you are. The song says, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. In this moment, I encourage this church to give our very best, to focus on what we're doing right now, to pour out all of who we are to Jesus Christ and ask him to heal and change our land. I want you to know that prayer matters. I want you to know that our praise matters. I want you to know that our loving of people, it matters. So do not get weary in doing good. And know and trust that in due time, God will give us the harvest. So this morning, let's know that our praise matters, church. And let's give all that we are to lift up a heart of gratitude, to lift up joyful noise, because our God is good.
Let praise arise.
Good morning again. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. A couple of things, just so you know, if I don't shake your hand this morning, there's a reason for that. Last week, I was not feeling well. I don't know what I had, but it could have been the dreaded C word. It could have been a sinus infection. I'm not sure, but it's been 6 days. I'm past the CDC 5-day quarantine. Cheryl enjoyed this week because she didn't hardly see me for a week. I was at one end of the house and she was at the other. But I had this real cute nurse that kept bringing me food in there. We had a mask on and she'd open the door and hold her breath. And anyway, I think I'm fine, but I just wanted to tell you I'm just out of courtesy, won't be shaking hands today. But last January, I actually did have COVID back last January, and it was actually hilarious watching people leave the church. It'd been like 10 days since I'd had it, but as people were leaving, it was kind of like, see you later, see you later. Anyway, we all want to stay well, don't we? All right, if you are our guest this morning, we are really glad that you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. And I will be at this end of the foyer. I promise I'll keep my distance. I would love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. So at the end of the service. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that would be strange. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Some of you guys that feel inferior, like you don't have any gifts, I'm going to read that again. God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that is, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak. Speak in the only way that you speak, and that's in power and in authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a smart aleck in the first service that said, well, I wasn't born, but I look around this group. There's no smart alecks in this group. How many remember the date, January the 28th, 1986? What? If you were in the early service, don't cheat. The space shuttle blew up. Somebody knows their history. Oh, well, happy birthday, Danny. Oh, it's not on January 28th. So you remember that day. I remember I was still in the computer world, and I was director of IT at a company called ACO Feeds. Had one of their divisions was the Paymaster Oil Mill. We crushed cottonseed oil, and I remember we had this little, back in those days, we had this little TV, this little fat little TV like that, and it was in one of the rooms, and it was a launch of the space shuttle, so everybody kind of stopped what they were doing, went to watch the launch of the space shuttle in 73 seconds. Go ahead and show that. There's the launch. 73 seconds in, this happened. How many of you remember that? How many of you were watching it live? A bunch of us were watching it live. Danny was eating birthday cake. But I've done a little bit of reading about this, and it's interesting that there's over a million components that made up the space shuttles, a million, and one part failed. Anybody remember what that was? The O-ring, which is I've said is a little O-ring, but I've been corrected that it was a big O-ring that separated some of the different fuel containers and it was a cold morning and the rubber of the O-ring did not it kind of shrunk a little bit in that cold weather, which caused it to leak and caused the failure. One failed O-ring caused that disaster. Out of a million different components, that would you say now, looking back on it, that O-ring was important? Well, we continue the sermon series today, one, and today's message is one body. I want to jump right into this passage, 1 Corinthians 12. The first point I want us to hear, want us to make is every Christian is part of one body. This was radical stuff back in Paul's day for him to say that Jews and Greeks were part of one body. That was radical stuff. The Jews had been called God's people, and they looked at the Gentiles as less than. And here's what he says: the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. You know that word one in these 12 verses, that word one is used 11 times in these 12 verses. Seems like God may be trying to teach us something, that we're, you know, we've got, you know, the one thing, don't take this wrong, but I tell people sometimes the only thing wrong with the church is people. You know, we mess it up, don't we? We mess it up. But when we focus on Christ, we realize that no matter what we call ourselves, no matter if we call ourselves United Methodist or Baptist or Lutheran or anything, anyone that places Christ at the center, we are part of one body. We were given one Spirit, and there is one Christ. Ephesians 4, Paul says it this way. There's one body. Listen to this, more of that word one. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, on the baptism, I'm not I'm not bad-mouthing any other denomination or anything, but in some churches, if you want to join a church, they're going to want you to be rebaptized. And people ask me that when they come, do we need to get rebaptized? And I'm like, no, the blood of Christ doesn't have an expiration date. We're not baptizing you into the United Methodist Church. We are being baptized into the Church of Christ. You are being baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ. We accept that from no matter what name is on the sign when you did that. We accept that, and it's scriptural. There's one baptism. There's not a United Methodist baptism. Hello. Secondly, not only are we all part of one body, but every Christian has a purpose. Every Christian has a purpose. And he says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And Cheryl, I've had permission in the past, but not this week, but I've had permission in the past. That's an ongoing permission, right, to share this? Okay. Eternal permission to share this story. Cheryl, she no looky too good. She doesn't see that great without her glasses. She looks good. If the ushers would come forward, we'll close our service. I have been at the other end of the house, and I think it just got extended. She got me all choked up again. Okay. So, her eyesight is not that great. Well, my favorite phrase, or word, I guess, is what? Because I don't hear so great. I tell people, we joke together that between the two of us, we make one good human being. I mean, all of our senses are pretty good if we combine them. That's why we stay married, so that I can hear for her, see for her, and she can see for me. Now, hear for me, so I'm flustered. What? It's good to laugh, though, isn't it? I did that on purpose because I was trying. Every Christian has a purpose. We'll get back in line here. I hear people all the time say, well, I can't do X, Y, or Z. I can't do that. I'm not mature enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm just like, man, that's some of my best learning of God's Word was back before I was a pastor teaching Sunday school or leading a small group. That's when I really had to dig. I'm just like, man, I don't want to look, you know, like too dumb, so I better probably study this. And teachers can grow more than the class. Generally, pastors grow more than the people hearing the sermon. Every Christian has a purpose. And if you don't think you have a purpose, then you do. Which leads me to the third point. Missing or wounded parts affect the function of the body. Missing or wounded parts affect the function of the body. I've already made a dork out of myself, and I don't want to embarrass anybody else, so I won't call on you. If Scott Farrell, would you come up and join me? Danny, since it was your birthday, January 28th, you come up and join me. I need two volunteers. Thank y'all for volunteering, by the way. Come on, yeah, give it a round of applause for these two volunteers. All right. Y'all both have your thumbs, right? Y'all can stay down there. No, come on. I want to come on up here where the pressure is. You both have thumbs, right? All right. Here's what we're going to have a contest to see who can blow up those balloons and tie the balloon without using your thumbs. All right. Y'all ready? I'm gonna on your mark, get set, go it here in just a minute. By the way, I did that on purpose with Cheryl. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
On your mark, set, go. Well, Danny, but January 28th is your birthday. We all know that now. So, all right. Thanks, guys. Kind of hard to do without a thumb, isn't it? I think Scott cheated anyway. You're a police officer. You're exempt, right? Missing our wounded part. You know, we don't think about our thumb. I put this in the email this week. Have you ever tried, if you have a paper cut on your thumb, just to button a button, how difficult that is? Our thumbs are important. So, and I've shared this before. You know, I got new knees 3 months ago, and I'm probably someday going to need new shoulders. I these bodies, they wear out. But one of the things, my shoulders is kind of a gross thing, but my shoulders, especially when I was younger, come out of socket if I do the wrong thing. And I have learned, as I've gotten older and I'm less active, that's pretty important too. There's a reason why I'm a slob, see? It's because I'm trying to protect my shoulder. So my shoulder, I've learned there's things I can't do if I want my shoulder to stay in socket. I've learned to function with the woundedness of my shoulder. And things like just changing a light bulb. Everybody's going, don't raise too high. Changing a light bulb. I know not to stretch really, really tall to change a light bulb. If I'm ever on a ladder and I'm painting on the side of the house and I'm stretching out. I stopped putting Christmas lights, 3 years ago, something like that, on the house because I was up on the peak of the house and I'm doing all of this stuff and I'm like, that's really kind of stupid, you know? And even putting on a t-shirt is hazardous. I've know how to do it. You know, I'm bright that way. I've learned how to put on a t-shirt without my shoulder coming out of sight. I've learned to function in the brokenness of my shoulders. How many of us do that spiritually? It's like, I don't really want God to heal me in that because that sounds like work. That sounds like it might be painful. So we just learn how to function in our brokenness. But man, the heart of God is God has come to heal the brokenhearted, to give us abundant life. He wants us to be whole, and that's when we can really be effective as his body. So I encourage you, I've used this example before, but God, if you envision like the top of this podium here is a workbench, and God wants to put us on his workbench, and he wants to knock off all the crud. He wants to smooth out the rough edges, and he wants to make us beautiful in his sight so that we can bring him glory. And here's the problem. We have legs, and we can walk right off the workbench anytime we want to. He doesn't grab us and tie us down and make us be there. He wants us to surrender to the master's hand. and allow him to heal us and make us what he has created us to be. So missing or wounded parts affect the function of the body. And finally, number four, a unified body produces God's blessing. A unified body produces God's blessing. Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, for there the Lord commands his blessing." So here's unity is a tricky topic these days, because it can be, just like a lot of other words, it can be hijacked into thinking unity means that we have to accept everything, no matter what someone believes, no matter what someone is preaching, no matter what someone says, that if we want to be unified, we have to embrace that. Well, I know y'all don't like it when I whip out the Greek, but here it is again. That's bull. That's just nonsense. That's nonsense. The unity happens when we place our faith in Christ. Christ asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am? And who do the people say that I am?" And when he asked that of Peter, Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "On that rock, right there, I'm the Christ. On that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And so, if we veer away from that truth, that Jesus is the Christ and that God has spoken of that in his word, if we veer away from that, how can we be unified? How can we be unified? And I use this example in the early service. Back in the day, I don't know that it's quite the rivalry. They change these districts so much nowadays and realign different things, and all the rivalries seem to kind of lost their zeal. But back in my day, when I went to Abilene High, the Abilene High Cooper football game was a big deal. I mean, you wanted to win. And I was thinking about, you know, on one side of the field was the Eagle players, and on the other side of the field, which, by the way, the Eagle, that was the better team always, but the Cougars were over on the other side of the field, and they were opposite sides of the field, and I promise you they weren't unified against one another because they had different goals in mind. Now, on each sideline, you hoped and prayed for unity, that your teammates were unified with the goal of playing your best, doing your best, trying your hardest, and winning the game. But if you think that they were unified across the field, no. We must be a unified body. Something has to bring us together. And for me, what brings me together, I think that's what brings y'all together, is the name of Jesus. Jesus, what he's done for us, who he is, how he loves us, the grace and the mercy that he provides to us. Man, and you know, so many times we get this wrong, I think, in the church. We try to preach this hellfire and damnation to draw people to Christ. I'm like, man, we're not called to scare people into the kingdom. Romans tells us that it's the kindness of the Lord that draws people to repentance. For me, when I started walking with the Lord, it was when I knew I was unworthy to receive it. I was deserving of wrath, God's wrath, and I received his mercy. That's big. That was a life-changing moment for me. We're unified in the very person of Jesus Christ, and that produces blessing when we are sharing that with a hurting world. That produces blessing. And not only does it produce blessing, but Psalms 133 says that the Lord commands his blessing when we're unified, that he commands it in that. So unity brings commanded blessing. One of the ways that we also read about that, Jesus said in one of his last prayers on this earth, he said, "My prayer is not for them alone," speaking of the disciples. He said, "I pray also for those who believe in me through their message." Who's he talking about? us. That all of them may be one, there's that word again, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So, and before that, Jesus said that I am in the Father and the Father in me, that they may they be like that, that the world may believe that you sent me. That blesses others, it blesses the world, and it produces blessing. You know, this nowhere was this, I think, demonstrated better than the early church. Acts chapter 2, right after Pentecost, Peter has preached a sermon, and here, pick it up in verse 41. Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now listen to, and they immediately, so they weren't baptized. It's like, hey, everybody, I got my ticket to heaven now. I'm good. I put it in my pocket here. I'm good. No, they began to act. They began to, there was action attached to their salvation. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and listen to this, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we focus on Jesus, when He changes our life and we begin to center on that, lives are changed. Not just ours, but we're the part of the body of Christ. He works through us. What a blessing. I mean, man, I think, man, Lord, don't you I'm a knucklehead. Don't you have somebody better than me to utilize? No, all of us. He wants to take us just, if we're a thumb or if we're a toe or we're an ear or whatever we are, he has a purpose for us. We are His body. If you just bow your heads with me and invite the praise team to come on back up. Father, I don't know what's coming to my mind is, why are you even mindful of us? You are, you are a holy God. You are the creator of the universe. You spin the planets on your finger. You speak the universe into existence. You create us out of dust. You breathed life into us. And yet, you have called us your very own. You have invited us to be your body. And Jesus, you willingly, sacrificially went to the cross for us. And each one of us was on your mind when they drove those nails in your hand and in your feet. And you did it because you love us. Father, may we, as you have blessed us, may we be a blessing to others. May we be your body. May we be what the people you've placed in our path need. Maybe they need an ear to listen. Maybe they need a hand to serve. Teach us how to love like you, Jesus. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to rise if you're able. At the end of the service, there's going to be some people down front for prayer. Now, I just kind of sense Billy and I just talked about this, that there may be some people that need some sort of healing in their life, and it may be physical healing, but it may be emotional, deep emotional, spiritual healing, just freedom. God has come to set us free. So I invite you to, at the end of the service, to make your way down front, and there will be people here. They'll have a tag on that says prayer team. Would love to pray over you. I will be out at this end of the foyer to greet our guests. Rise if you're able. just a reminder, I'll give everybody a 5 minute or so restroom break, and then we'll come back in here for if you want to be at the meeting. Hear this benediction. You, church, are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. You have gifts, and you are to bring blessing to the Lord, where He'll pour out His blessing. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. God bless you. Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.